The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. Our tech team ensure your broadband runs at its optimum speed. It's all part of the service.
Good morning all, this is Ryan Tuberty with you on Monday morning. It is the 25th of January 2021 and that can only mean one thing. After today, there will be no more Mondays in January. Is that good? That's not too bad. We have five late shows in January. I thought there was only 4 weeks in a month. Anyway, there we are. And there we are. And here we are. I mentioned the morning actually when we were sitting down. I said, actually, it's a beautiful day outside. It's very nice. And then I left the show, walked outside. And I said, actually, it's one of the coldest days I've ever had. What was I saying? I completely gave you a bum steer there. So sorry about that. My apologies, belatedly. Meteorological mess up on my part. Today, it is freezing. It's Baltic. So that's the truth. It's also very bright, quite sunny and quite beautiful. So you can be Baltic and beautiful, just so you know. And if you are heading out, go for it. Be careful, wear your mask, do everything else. But if you can, if you've been promising yourself an extra sleep in bed or just an extra bit of coziness, do it today. Treat yourself. Go downstairs, make the tea. If you're in a bungalow, don't go downstairs because then you're in a basement. Make your tea or coffee, go back up and just enjoy. And we'll keep you company for the next hour. And then if you want to keep going, Claire will look after you, 10 and on and on. But if you felt like a day for it, today's probably a nice day for it. Treat yourself. It's a pandemic, for God's sake. I'm just listening to the ad there, the sting, as they call it, for the weather. And it plays a version of I'm a Believer. And I think there are a few more beautiful versions of the Monkey song of I'm a Believer than the man who wrote it, Neil Diamond, and his acoustic version, which he did about 5 years ago. Have you heard that? It's absolutely beautiful. And I might give it a play at some stage. But according to the papers this morning, double masking is the new thing. The double mask. Just when you thought it was safe, it's not. Double masking is a sensible and easy way, I'm told, to lower your risk when you have to spend more time around others. So if you've got to get a taxi, double mask. If you're getting on a plane, you have to double mask. If you're getting on a train, double mask. If you're at a presidential inauguration in Washington, D.C., double mask. So, for example, speaking of which, former presidential candidate and now nominee for Secretary of Transportation, Pete Buttigieg, was spotted double masking. He was wearing a high-quality medical mask underneath a black cloth mask. So it's kind of like where you're reading a book you don't want to admit to reading on the train and you put another one over it. So you wear your medical mask, which isn't very trendy, and then you put your football theme or your Beatles theme mask or whatever you're into yourself over your that. And that's what he did, essentially, underneath. His husband was sporting a similar double mask look, but with a fashionable cloth mask that coordinated with his winter scarf. So that's what they're saying to it. The new variants of the virus continue to emerge, and one in particular is causing a lot of concern in the States. I know it's causing problems here, but the bottom line is that you should keep taking the same pandemic precautions you always have, but maybe just go a little further if you can, and hence the double mask. Don't know if it'll catch on here, but that's certainly an issue over in the United States of America. Our friend and colleague Orla O'Donnell tweeting, on behalf of parents everywhere, a plea to the weather gods. Keep snowing. Are you loving it? I presume the children are loving the snow. It's just another distraction and a welcome one at that. And Liam was sent a tweet in to say, sorry, I can't go to work. The upstairs landing is completely snowed in. You see, you don't have those excuses anymore because you're working from home, you can't. I like another friend and colleague, Alan Swan, tweeting a sign that he saw, or at least posted, and it said, a small coffee will cost you $5. A small coffee, please, will cost you $3. Hello, one small coffee, please, will cost you $1.75. So the nicer, more polite you are, the cheaper the coffee gets. It's quite nice. The happiness, the manners index in that particular shop working nicely. Sarah Palin. Remember Sarah Palin? I can see Russia from my house. She was John McCain's vice presidential on the ticket, candidate at least. Where is she now? Well, she's still knocking around and she's making a few bob by doing video requests. So if you want to send your friend a message and you want Sarah Palin to be the person to send the message, she'll do it for you at a fee. So if you pay her $200, she'll do this.
Sweet pea buttercup, this is Sarah Palin in Alaska, your neighbor. Canada, right? I can see Canada from my house. Your neighbor, who wants to take just a second just to shout you out and say happy, happy new year to you. You deserve the very, very best. All those around you, those who call you Yaya, those who love you so much, Mary, they want to make sure that you know how much you are loved.
Boom, $200. Sarah Palin. In the bag. Now, 51551, I have just taken your advice, says Noel. Good, Noel. What an appropriate name today. I'm here in bed with my cuppa, listening to you. Brilliant idea. I'll let the roads thaw out before going for my walk. Great, great excuse. If you need one, just let the roads thaw. You can't go out, it's too icy. I'm doing it for my personal health and safety. I'm having this tea in my bed because of my own health and safety. That's what's happening here. And Deirdre and Casey were on to say, myself and my 9-year-old have gone to watch the beautiful sunrise. How lovely. We've tried a few mornings, but it's been too cloudy. But this morning, she got it. It's beautiful out, but it's cold, and have a good day. Well, same to you, Deirdre and Casey. What a lovely thing to do and to start the day. Sad news. Dave Kenny writing in the Irish Daily Mail this morning that this beautiful, beautiful man, as he writes himself here, when octogenarians Des and Mona Manahan spoke of their devotion to each other on the Late Late Show 3 years ago, the nation practically swooned with delight. Do you remember these people? They were just beautiful. Because Des revealed that he had taken over the task of applying Mona's makeup once her eyesight started to fall, and their love story went global. The Kardashians' makeup artist thought it was beautiful, and they were on BBC and so on. And Des, the much-loved Waterford actor and cousin of the late Anna Manahan, began his role as Mona's makeup artist after the couple had been invited to a party. And Mona decided she wanted to get her makeup done professionally, and they headed to Debenhams in Waterford, where they met cosmetics artist Rosie O'Driscoll. And according to Rosie, Des, who was then 83, took the brush from my hand and started applying Mona's makeup, and he was a natural. And the pair, who raised a family of six, went viral on social media. But the sad news this morning is, after 58 years married to his beloved Mona, Des recently caught COVID-19 and died aged 86 last Friday. And it's just so sad. His family are heartbroken, according to his daughter-in-law, Ellen. And I just wanted to pass on to the Manahan family, all mine and my colleagues and friends here in RT, our respects and condolences to you. You were such a beautiful couple, and sending as much love as humanly possible to Mona this morning on a very difficult day at a very difficult time. So thinking of you, and we will always treasure that lovely memory you gave to all of us when you came in to see us on the Late Late Show. You were beauty itself, and may he rest in peace. Thank you for that. 51551 is the text number. Moving on to different things that catch the eye today in the Irish Examiner. They're going to make, I don't know if you ever watched Quiz, the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire programme I was recommending. It was on RTÉ over the weekend, I think last night. And you know this thing with Michael Sheen, who plays David Frost, and he plays Mike, of course, in that Chris Tennant. Chris Tennant? No, I'll get back to that. It's what's the name? I've lost the name of the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Chris Tarrant. That's it. Sorry. I'm mixing up my Pet Shop Boys and all of that. We'll come back to it in a second. Anyway, what they've done is they're going to make another one, because I loved the Brexit drama with Benedict Cumberbatch playing Dominic Cummins, and it was really, really good. It's well worth looking at. But what they're doing is they're making another one with Boris Johnson and how he's handling the coronavirus. It's going to be directed by one of the most amazing directors, Michael Winterbottom. But who's going to play Boris Johnson? I think this is really surprising. I think it's very, very interesting, and I can't wait. They'll start filming it in May, I think. But who's going to play him? Kenneth Branagh. Isn't that something? Kenneth Branagh playing Boris Johnson? I would never have cast him. It's a great combination, Winterbottom and Branagh. And it's based on the first-hand testimony of people inside Downing Street, UK Department of Health, Scientific Advisory Group for Emergencies, and hospitals and care homes across the country. And that is fascinating. Tim Shipman, the political editor of the Sunday Times, will help write where Winterbottom. So that'll be very safe hands, that's for sure. Meanwhile, Doc Martens never went away, you know, as you probably know. And they're extremely timeless, aren't they? They're still back. They're back in. They kind of never went too far. And they're expected to launch a stock market flotation today that would value the firm at £3.5 billion sterling. Huge windfall for bosses and backers. But what interests me is not so much the money, but the fact that, yes, they sell 11 million pairs of shoes and boots a year across maybe 60 countries. And they've managed to weather the COVID-19 pandemic well. But Dr. Martin, that's what I was trying to figure out. I didn't know the connection because I didn't know enough about it. But the footwear brand began as a collaboration between a small shoe factory in Northamptonshire and two doctors in Munich. And one of them, Dr. Klaus Martens, had developed an air-cushioned chunky sole in 1947 after a foot operation following a skiing accident. And the shoemaking Griggs family acquired the license and designed the 1460 in April 1960. And the boots grew in popularity after being adopted by skinheads in the 60s, later fashion staples among punks and goths. And more recently, chunky boots have become mainstream fashion, as they certainly are popular in my house. Not for myself, of course, but they are extremely popular and they're iconic. Are they not? Anthony Fauci was out over the weekend and he was describing his presence in the White House under the Trump administration. And they said, so you were kind of a stone in the shoe. He said, I was the skunk at the picnic. And that was a wonderful expression. And he clashed with the president often, but he said he never considered resigning. He said, I felt that if I stepped down, that would leave a void and someone's got to not be afraid to speak out the truth. So that was a joke. It was a friendly joke, he says, but I was the skunk at the picnic. So that's Anthony Fauci describing his experience in the Trump White House. But that has all changed, thankfully, and he's back in a better position now. Good news. And another one from Aileen in Waterford says, I had my foot out of the bed thinking about getting up. The heat is not on because I have to get up to turn it on. I reversed my foot. I pulled up the duvet. And I will continue to listen to you from my bed. That's what I was talking about. Now, treat yourself. But you still need the cup of something gorgeous just to complete the mood music. As a teenager, says Des, you're talking about Des Manhan. I danced with the Irish Operatic Repertory Society in numerous operettas with Des Manhan, the late Des Manhan, a kinder gentleman you could not meet. Always had a glint in his eye and a joke of the day for everyone. He was one of the greatest. May he rest in peace. Well said. And people will have known Des, certainly in Waterford and beyond. And it just seems like one of those lovely people. Now, I didn't get to see, but I will... maybe even later on, It's a Sin. Have you heard about this drama? And it's about the AIDS epidemic. And apparently it was excellent and has been reviewed very favourably. So I'll get there eventually. And this song is, I think it features on it, but it's a lovely version, obviously, of the Pet Shop Boys. So I'm going to play that for you now. Coming up, though, I'm going to be talking to the writer Ethna Shortall, who's made a documentary about people who write Mills and Boone's books. Now, I've never read a Mills and Boone's book, but I watched the documentary and it is fascinating because there's a bunch of women writers, as it happens, up in Northern Ireland who are making a fortune writing these books for Mills and Boone. So we'll have a look at them and their appeal, who writes them, why they write them, who buys them and why they buy them. We'll do that in a couple of minutes' time. But this is Years and Years.
It's a sin.
That is Years and Years. Beautiful, isn't it? Very plaintive, very sad, but very gorgeous. And as John and Clonroach says, now that's how you redo a classic tune. Yeah, I just had a little listen to before we came on air and I just thought in the first 20 seconds, yeah, don't have to even listen to anymore. You know something's beautiful when you hear it immediately. Gillian was on, so I've been double masking for months now of cystic fibrosis and in kidney failure, so have to be extremely careful. If I can breathe with two masks and 39% lung function, then so can a healthy person. Well, wishing you well this morning. Gillian, thanks for that. Donald says, what an absolutely gorgeous version of that classic from my youth. To treat yourself to watching It's a Sin. Alexander plays a blinder. Great, I will. I'll watch it later. Kenneth Branagh as Boris, as Karen in Galway. No one else could play him. Absolutely. If you want to watch something fun and sophisticated, I recommend Lupin. Here we go. But watch in the original French with English subtitles. The dubbed version is terrible. Well, I'm kind of glad you said that because I have been watching it since last Thursday. I watched more of it last night and I'm really enjoying it. It's got that Sherlock vibes, but in Paris. And it's very, very smart. It's very good. It's not as good as Sherlock, but it's very, very good. And I would never watch any program with dubbing. I find dubbing preposterous and completely mad because they always get the voices wrong. And they never match a face in my head with a voice. They have somebody who looks elegant and sophisticated and they're going to put a voice on it that says, we're going to bust this place. No, he doesn't sound like that. He'd be saying, I think we should investigate this matter. But they put it into, we're going to bust this place. We're going to kick his ass. We're going to go in there. We're going to do something crazy. And this guy's going, actually, all I said was I'd like to go in, knock on the door, and maybe have a cup of tea and see if we can sort this out like gentlemen. No, we're going to go in there. We're going to wreck everything. And on it goes. Thanks for I have a cuppa and I'm curled up in bed listening, says Rose. Just realised today's 25th of January. Is it really only a month since Christmas? Although Christmas to me feels like it was yesterday. I don't know. But you do know that January is a long month. I keep expecting that song to break into Wild World by Cat Stevens. Con, I couldn't agree with you more. I thought the very same thing as I was listening to it. It must be that version. Regarding your advice to stay in bed, says Marie, I'm in the over 70s elite group, yes. So since last March, that's exactly what I do every morning, you lucky thing. I listen to and thoroughly enjoy your show. Great. Keep up the good work and stay safe. Same to you. But you're rubbing our noses in it now, are you not? Let's take a quick break and come back to this. 22 minutes past nine. Spain, says Elena, I watched a Sean Connery Bond movie dubbed into English, but with a Spanish actor trying to do a Scottish accent. I could think of nothing worse. I'd rather turn the TV off and look at the screen and maybe a fly crawling down. I couldn't think of... But thank you for enlightening us on that. And another from Lisa says, I usually hate covers, but this is sublime. And that's It's a Sin, It's Gorgeous. Niall Hatcher, a friend from Birdwatch Ireland, was on to say that they were once contacted by the family of a man who was terminally ill. And this man loved the sound of a particular bird from a particular place that he grew up listening to during his childhood. And they located a recording of this specific bird song and played it for the man in his final hours. And he left this earth with a smile on his face. What a lovely story about the power of the bird song. Meanwhile, on Meals and Boom Books, they were my go-to, says the text, after a night duty shift in ICU. They helped put me asleep and we're better than meds. I can well believe it. And lots on dubbing. Fauda, the Israeli drama, dubbed the Jewish Israelis' voices with terrible American accents and subtitled all the Palestinian dialogue into English. Needless to say, it was unwatchable. Great program though, but yeah, I know what you mean. They did get that wrong. And the early Clint Eastwood spaghetti westerns are dubbed. And that gives them an extra appeal, says John. Doesn't detract at all, interestingly. A fistful of dollars for a few dollars more, etc. The tradition musicians, says Nolene, on the Late Late Show on Friday night were, as always, wonderful. In the last year, I have, like a lot of us, missed the bars and the cracks so much, but I had parted away in the Pandora's box of my mind whilst I try, like everyone, to focus on the now and counting my blessings instead of all the things we're missing out on. But the musicians on the show on Friday definitely flicked on a switch which brought on that deep, visceral pit of the stomach want for the crack. The music in the corner, and that feeling when you walk into your favourite bar in the evening. And for a moment, I felt guilty for thinking about this, that this is all I have to complain about. And then I thought, no, being sociable, telling stories, singing songs, it is who we are and what we are. It's therapy we don't have at the time when it is something we really need, and our souls won't be complete until we have it back again. Well said. So I started living vicariously through the rabbit hole that is YouTube, looking up old videos of musicians on the late Mary Black, the Dubliners, the Furies, and it gave me a bit of hope, made me feel excited for the good times that must surely be ahead of us. I tried to summon as much as I could, the Mishnach, and then I stumbled across a song from one of my favourite Elvis performances, The 6 Day Comeback. Oh yeah, you and me both. The words from If I Can Dream are exactly what the world needs to hear right now. There must be lights burning brighter somewhere. Got to be birds flying higher in a sky more blue. Give it a play if you can. Thank you. You're welcome. This is what we need. The world needs now more than anything else. Brother. Okay, that's Elvis Presley and If I Can Dream. Today is the 25th of January, which is, says Sheila, Robbie Burns Day. Are you right, Robbie? And that's good news. Should be celebrated by eating haggis and neeps and tatties, which are turnip and potatoes, at a Burns supper night. This could be accompanied by Scottish music and songs and poetry. Happy Robbie Burns Day to all. Thank you for sharing that with us. And thank you for recommending the tea dance tunes for dementia at the National Concert Hall last year, says Teresa. A few of us tuned into it and thoroughly enjoyed it as it was nostalgic and uplifting, which is good news. And just loads of coming in on Elvis and different things. That we'll get to them all as much as we can tomorrow. But listen, if you did stay in bed for that hour, hour's up, out you get. Got to get the milk. World has to keep turning. And we'll see you tomorrow between 9 and 10. Stay tuned for Clyburn.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.